Welcome, y'all. Like Dave said, next week we're kicking off a brand new series called Single on Purpose, Single on Purpose. And I just got to tell you, I see a lot of churches that do sermon series for families, for married couples. I see a lot of churches that do sermon series on parenting. I don't see very many churches, though, that address this really, really big demographic in our country that's growing larger and larger and larger every day. So whether you're single and young, whether you're single again, and if you got a lot of friends who fall in that category, please, please, please welcome to this series. And okay, just because you're married or you're not single, all right, doesn't mean you can skip, because what you'll find is at the core of this series is a message for everyone in this church. And more importantly than anything, this is not going to be one of those barf, you know, relationship series. I promise you, this is going to be series like Dave said on our identity in Christ, so you will not want to miss it. Now, today we're going to be in the second installment and the final installment of the series we're doing called The Church Just Wants Your Money. Yes, I said second and final. This is a short but sweet series. You can tell all your friends that are skipping to come back next week. Some of you giggle and laugh, but that's what happens. When we preach on money, and especially when we tell you about it, people don't show up. Like, we literally can't afford to preach on money that long, at least. And you know who I feel the worst for is always the first-time visitors who come to our church, and they're already a little suspicious because we're a mega church, right? And then they walk in and they see the title and the graphic, and then they see that we have a give kiosk in the lobby, and they're like, oh, they got a give kiosk. You know, grab some of that free coffee, honey, and let's get back to the car quick. You know, hold on to your wallet, right? So anyway, I don't know what religious background or experiences you've had before now, but let me just tell you, clear one thing up from the beginning about us. We are not in the money business at Northeast Christian Church. We are in the life change business. We're in the heart business. And so the reason why we talk often, or I guess occasionally, about money is because we realize that one of our number one competitors for your heart is your stuff. Now, we didn't just make that up out of thin air. We actually got that from Jesus. If you read what he said, he talked about money all the time. Like one time Jesus said this thing. He said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Or in other words, Jesus had this awareness 2,000 years ago that money, that your stuff, that wealth can become a god of your life if you let it. You'll start defining yourself by it. You'll start making it your object of worship. You'll start looking to it for your significance and security and joy in your life. And before you know it, your money will control you rather than you controlling it. Jesus said this other thing. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Or in other words, if you want to see what somebody really loves, if you want to see where their affections lie, follow the money trail and see what they're spending their money on, and you'll find out really, really quick where their heart is. So again, like if Jesus had this awareness 2,000 years ago, then us as his body today, 2,000 years later, we need to talk about it too. So that's why we come together about once a year for a few weeks, and we talk about your stuff. All right, so no apologies, really. It is what it is. Now today, I'm just going to go and tell you, this is not going to be much of a sermon. Sorry. Okay, if at the end of the message you're like, that was the worst excuse for a sermon I've ever heard. Okay, don't send me an email. I warned you from the front end. This is not going to be much of a sermon. Instead, this is going to be more like a family talk. Okay, can we have a family? Can we get together, fam, and talk for a second? Now, specifically, this message is directed at Northeast people. So if you're a Northeast person, like a member, a stakeholder, if you call Northeast Christian Church your home, then this message is directed at you. Now, if you don't, and if you're new here, you're visiting, or you're checking us out, and you're still dating us, and you're not sure if you want to go all in, well, you've picked a good weekend to come, because you're going to get an opportunity to hear a lot about our DNA as a church. You're going to get to hear a lot about where we push our money as a church, and you're going to find out very quickly that you are surrounded by one of the most generous groups of people on the planet Earth. I believe that from the bottom of my heart, right? But this message isn't necessarily for you, so you can just kind of take it or leave it or do whatever you want to with it. Now, Northeast fam, here's kind of my main purpose for the message today. Today, I want to make a case. I want to make a case to you for why you should be generous with our church and how you should be generous with our church. Why? And how? And the reason why I say this isn't going to be much of a sermon is because I'm not going to use the Bible to do it. Now, some of you are like, you're not going to use the Bible? No, it'll be a biblical sermon, but I'm not going to reference a bunch of verses, because you know what I'm sick and tired of? I've just seen one too many sleazy preachers stand on stage and take the Bible and manipulate it in order to get people to give the church their money. I've seen preachers pound on the Bible and guilt people into giving. You know, you better give, you better give. You want to store up treasure for yourselves in heaven, you better give. It's like, I mean, seriously, we're not going to be homeless in heaven, okay? I'd rather be homeless in heaven than king in hell. Anyways, but like, and then on the flip side, other preachers would be like, you know, if you just give a little bit to the Lord, he will open up the floodgates of blessing on your life. You know, give God one, he'll give you 10. Thus saith the Lord. Now, let me tell you, barf, okay, that's a lie. Barf, okay, if those preachers really believe that if you give God one, he'll give you 10, then you know what they do? They show up at their churches every week with a check for their full net worth. And in about 10 weeks, they'd own the world. I'm just saying, do the math, right? So, okay, come on, I just don't want to go there today. If you choose to give to the church at the end of this message today, you know what? I want you to do it for one reason and one reason only. I want you to do it because you believe in this church. You believe in the mission of this church. In fact, you believe that Jesus is the hope of the world, and the local church today is his body in his world. It's his strategy to reach the world. If at the end of the message, that's what you believe, and you believe that this church is doing a pretty good job of it, then by all means, I want you to be generous with us. Now, well, with that being said, let me put some numbers to the money that you guys give to the church. I want you to see your offerings through the same lens that we do, through the lens of life change. So, a little financial report for you. This year, we're expecting to take in somewhere around $5 million in contributions. That's what we're on pace for. Very good year for us. Of those $5 million, $1.7 million every single year is budgeted, or at least this year, is budgeted to go in to what you see around you on the weekends. It's to make Northeast the church you see on the weekends. Now, that's a pretty big chunk of change, I know, but here's why we put so much into weekends. Because we are a weekend-driven organization, whether we like it or not. All right, now the church is a people. It's a movement. It goes far beyond what happens within these four walls. But we understand that what happens in these four walls creates a wave of momentum that everything else we do can ride on if it's good. So we invest in this. This is the one time when we get everybody together throughout the week and we can cast vision and speak the truth of God and tell you guys about how you can go deeper in your relationship with God, where you can serve, how you can learn. This is also our first impression to all of our first time visitors and to those who may be investigating Jesus for the first time. So we want to put our best foot forward on the weekend to make sure people know and see that God, it doesn't have to be boring, that God can be engaging and relevant and excellent. So we invest a lot. Now, of that $1.7 million, full transparency, $800,000 is budgeted to go to debt relief this year on this beautiful facility we built about 5 years ago. $800,000. We have a $10 million debt. $10 million. Pretty big debt. Now, aside for you real quick. Most preachers can't be bought. But I can for $10 million today. If you want to write a check today for $10 million, I will give you, okay, I won't give you my wife or my firstborn, but I'll give you anything else. I've got, you can have my job. I don't even sure if I can give you my, the elders, I'm telling you, for $10 million, they can be bought too. They will give you my job, like whatever you want. I'm just saying, you never know who's in the room. All right, now, back on now. $800,000. Now, that's $800,000, 1.7 minus 800 is $900,000. So the other $900,000 actually goes to everything you see around you. The chairs you're sitting in, the air conditioning that's blowing in the room that you think is too cold. We get the emails. Like the light bulb wall out in the lobby, the landscaping, all the staff and workers and facilities team that makes the weekend work, the kids' environments, all everything that you see in weekends. Over the course of the year, we've got budgeted about $900,000 to do that. Now, again, big chunk of change, but we think it's worth it because this year we've seen over 67,000 people come through one of our weekend worship environments. And of those 67,000, 667 of them have identified themselves as first or second time guests. Now, that's a lot. And the key word there is identified themselves because most guests don't. Right? Most guests sort of kind of sit in the back and they cross their arms and they make sure we're not crazy before they tell us we're here, right? They're like, is that crazy church? Okay. And then we find out like 3, 4, 5, 6 months in to their time here. All right. So again, big investment, but we think it's worth it. Now, on top of that 1.7, over the course of the next year, we're going to be investing $470,000 plus in life change ministries. So here's our favorite metric when it comes to this money right here. This year, we've already seen 186 baptisms. 186 baptisms because of our outreach life change ministries. Now, can you put a price tag on an eternally changed life? Can you? I mean, like, I don't think you can. In fact, if somebody were to come up to me today and say, Tyler, I can guarantee you that your son, Palmer, one day will have a life-saving, life-changing, eternal relationship with Jesus, I would write them a check for 100% of my net worth right then and there. And I wouldn't even have to consult Lindsay because I know she would be on the same page as me, right? Can you put a price tag on an eternally changed life? The answer is no. And yet this year we've already seen 186 sons and daughters, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, neighbors and friends accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's cool stuff. Now, in addition to that 186, we've had 28 people go into one of our starting point environments. Starting point. Now, if you know nothing about starting point, let this be an announcement for you right here. Starting point is a small group environment we create and launch. It's 6 weeks long, every 2 or 3 months or so. And this environment is specifically designed for non-Christians, skeptics, and new Christians. All right, now here's why. Because we get everybody together in the room, we get some of our best volunteers, some of our pastors in the room, and we allow you to ask whatever questions you want. If you've got some really tough intellectual questions, if you've got some really tough emotional questions that you just don't find an outlet for here on the weekends, Starting Point is your place. No questions are off limits in that group. Now, next Sunday, we're launching a new group, and the following Wednesday, we're launching a new group. And if you think, man, that might fit for me, it's a perfect, safe environment for you to take a first step and just sort of investigate Jesus a little more. 28 folks already this year have gotten a lot of their questions answered through Starting Point. On top of that, we've had 162 new members come through our Membership Connect class. We've had 32 new small groups launched. Now, if you do the math on that, that's about 320 people that have gotten into Christian community this year to total up 1,219 active small group participants in our church. And that's not even including the kids. And also, many of you went through some of our summer classes, but we've had 2,035 people go through classes this summer. So look, at the end of the day, that's a lot of touches. That's a lot of growth steps, right? And that's only a fraction of what's going on here. Money well invested. Now, here's the crazy thing about this slide. This slide, like none of the stats on the slide except for baptism really, represent what goes on in our kids' world, in our next generation ministry. So let me show you some exciting numbers on that. This year we're going to invest nearly $500,000, $500,000 to impact the children and students of Louisville. Because at Northeast Christian Church, we are committed to boldly pursuing the next generation. We put our money where our mouth is. Of that is included the nearly 3,000 students that will be impacted through our school partnerships, which I think is one of the coolest things we do. When I came here, we had one partnership with Chancey Elementary, and it was awesome. Like, we thought it was one of the best things we did, so we just started fanning the flame. And this year, we ended up, I think we're going to end up touching 13 different schools. We have four really, really deep, solid partnerships and several others that are growing in our community. That's neat. That's cool. Hey, better schools, better kids, better future, right? We're going to invest in our schools. Now, in addition to that, we have about 22,000 students that are children that have come through one of our children's environments this year, and that's just 7 months. Again, in just 7 months, we've impacted 22. That's your sons, that's your daughters, right? And this money also goes to help us put on some of the big events that we do here for kids. Like, if you're familiar with our church, you know that every Halloween, we do Kidabaloo, where we give out candy, and we throw a big carnival here on the Brownsboro campus and at the Clifton campus, and kids get a good first impression of what the love of Jesus should look like. Last year, for the first time, we did this cool thing called the Love the Ville Christmas Party, and this year we're going to do it again. But it was just kind of like, hey, we picked up the phone, we called three of our partner schools, and we said, hey, send us your students that need a little extra love this Christmas season. And so they sent us 235 students. And we were able to divvy out between those 235 students 1,892 gifts. Now, do the math. That's over 8 gifts a kid. I didn't get 8 gifts this Christmas. All right? Like, I don't know if I've ever gotten 8 gifts in a Christmas. Like, that's over. And we sent them all home with a ham, too. And it was a big party. So that's awesome, man. And that's the kind of church you are a part of. We are committed to boldly, boldly pursuing the next generation. Now, again, that's not all. Because this year, we are planning to invest $352,000 into our local and our missions outreach partners here in the United States and abroad. And the reason why that number can be as big as it is because of the Christmas Eve offering that you guys invested in this past year. Here are some of the local partners that we invest in. You're probably familiar with some of these: Elevate Rec, Campus Crew, Cincinnati Christian, mine, Bob Cherry's alma mater, Love City out in Portland, Operation Christmas Child, that's coming up again here soon. All of those are great partnerships. Now, on top of that, we support four missionaries on four different continents. You should know that. North America, South America, Africa, and Europe. I think we probably need to add Asia here soon. But okay, I want to ask you a question real quick. Raise your hand if you've been in one of the services this year where we've just got to randomly surprise one of our partners with a huge, huge check. Raise your hand if you've been in one of those services. Okay, the majority of the room. It has been so cool to just say, hey, call our partners up and say, hey, you should be at our church this weekend. Why? Just trust me. It'll be a really good sermon. You'll like it. Your favorite sermon ever. Okay. And then they just show up and we're like, boom, right? I felt like Oprah this year. You get a check. You get a check. Everybody gets a check. I mean, like, it's been amazing. And none of that would be possible without your generosity. Now, I just want you guys to know, above and beyond what's represented in the budget right here, we have planted five churches in the poorest country of South America, Bolivia, over the past 2 years. And again, this is money raised above and beyond what's represented in the budget. And in those five churches, we have also sponsored 1,000 kids in there, like just under 1,000 in Cochabamba. Now, you do the math. It costs $38 a month to sponsor a kid through Compassion International. 38 times 1,000 is $38,000 additional dollars flowing out of our church every month and into a country and into the lives of children that need it. Now, that is good stuff, y'all. That is really, really good stuff. I mean, so this is just amazing. I really can't believe that we're able to make this sort of God-sized impact all across our community and all across our world. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Now, last slide. This is kind of a fun one. This year, for the first time, we are going to be pushing a significant chunk of change into impacting the world through our digital channels. All right, here's the deal. If we want to take Jesus and the church to where the people are, then we can't just go to our neighborhoods. We can't just go to Cochabamba, Bolivia. We got to go to the internet. All right, we've got to own the digital space because, trust me, that's where the people are, right? So for the first time really in the history of our church, we're pushing a lot of money into that. Now already this year, because of our investment, we've impacted 105 different countries through our podcasts, our sermons, and our different series. We have over 4,100 Facebook fans. If you want to like our Facebook page, I give you permission in church. Go for it. We also just launched an Instagram page. We got 419 followers, 2,000 likes. Pretty cool. On our Vimeo channel, we've had over 11,000 video views. On our podcast channel, we've had nearly 13,000 downloads of our different shows. And man, we have had 26,627 unique visitors to our Northeast Christian Church website this year. And again, all that is in just 7 months. We got five more months to blow those numbers out of the water. Pretty cool stuff, y'all. So let me just say this to you. If you're looking for an organization where you get a return on your investment through the currency of life change, then look no further than this church right here, because we are committed to boldly, boldly changing lives now. And I think you should give yourselves a hand, because we have done a great job at that. I'm proud. I'm so proud. And again, if you are new here, let me just remind you, I'm telling you, you are surrounded by one of the most externally focused, impact the world, generous communities of people that you've ever been around in your life. All right, now with that being said, here's the challenge part of the message. Okay, it's not a sermon, it's like a talk. Here's the challenge part of the talk. All right. We know from kind of studying our congregation that the majority of you, and you are so generous, right? But the majority of you are what we would call spontaneous givers, spontaneous givers. And it's good to be a spontaneous giver. It's good to sit in a church service or good to sit through a talk or something and say, wow, that's something I believe in. I feel God moving me to give to that and just say, you know, I'm going to write a check to that. Boom, you know. Here's how I would define a spontaneous giver for you. Spontaneous giving is saying, I'll give now to a compelling cause that will be addressed immediately. I'll give now to a compelling cause that will be addressed immediately. I'll give now because I love this whole idea of love the villain. You just preached on it. And man, I would just love to be a small part of a church impacting their community in that way. And I'll give now because it's pretty clear that that part of that school hasn't been painted in 20 years and the kids give better than that. So I'll give to that. I'll give now because I would love to be a part of planting a church in Cochabamba, Bolivia. I'll give now to a compelling cause that will be addressed immediately. That's spontaneous giving. And it's a great thing. It's a good thing. We should always keep ourselves open to that. And at Northeast, we're going to continue to provide opportunities for us to meet needs that come up in the immediate. And you guys are awesome at it. You really are. I mean, it's like you're not just awesome at giving your money. You're awesome at spontaneously giving your time or your stuff. I mean, like we've needed some weird things before and we get them. Like I was like one time we needed a crane. We're like, hey, can we get a crane? And somebody's like, yeah, I got a crane. We're like, cool. Yeah. One time we needed a school bus. Next week there's a school bus in the parking lot. And I was like, can we keep it? And they're like, no. Randy Gordon just knows people. He just knows you guys. And so he knows who to call. It's like, Randy, I need a hide a dead body. I'll call somebody. I know the guy, right? It's really amazing. So I just appreciate you guys being ready and willing to jump. Probably the best example of spontaneous giving in our church is what we've been doing every single year at Christmas Eve. Right? For the past 3 years on Christmas Eve, we've given you guys a cause to spontaneously give to, and you just blow us away. Here's kind of the chart out for the last 3 years. In 2013, Bob and I came up here and we were like, hey, we want to plant a church in Bolivia. We need $80,000 to do it. And you guys gave $234,000. Okay, in 2014, we're like, hey, we want to plant a couple more churches in Bolivia. They're $90,000 this year. You guys gave $172,000 to it. And last year, we're like, hey, we want to bring it from international here locally, and we want to double down on all our Love the Ville partners, so we're going to need $180,000 to do it. You guys blessed us with $220,000, and it just blows my mind. Okay, here's a story that you probably haven't heard before. That first year, when we did the Christmas Eve offering for the first time, we were kind of nervous about it, so we didn't know how people would respond. You know, it was like, they already spend a lot of money during Christmas. Are people going to have, you know, the margin to push more into the kingdom this year? So we kind of threw the $80,000 number out there. We even announced it at the beginning of December so you guys would have several weeks to think about it. Maybe we'd beat some of the Christmas shopping and, like, guilt you out of that. And so we, like, announced it at the beginning. We said, hey, on Christmas Eve, we're going to raise $80,000. And so go pray about it. And then me and Bob came back to the office and we prayed. We're like, God, just get us to, like, 70. If you get us to 70, we can, like, sneak some money from the budget into there and we'll round it out to 80. Just get us close, God. And it was so, so amazing because 2 or 3 days into that first week, we got a letter in the mail from the most generous lady I've never met at this church. And you know how much money was on that, the check that was inside the letter? $80,000. $80,000. She was just sitting in the service and she was like, oh, yeah, it'd be cool to build a church. Check, please, honey. Boom, like 5 digits. I mean, that's a bucket list item for me, man. I would love to write a 5 or 6 digit check and just say, ah, that sounds like a good cause. Bam. I mean, like, how many years would it take some of you to save that much? Like, I love, that is just so amazing. And the coolest part about it was when she sent us the check, with the check was a little note that said, hey, let's build 2. And y'all were like, nah, let's build 3. Like, this is how this church rolls. When we throw spontaneous stuff out there, you're like, all right, done. Check on that check. Here we go. Right. Now, as good as spontaneous giving is, and as good as so many of you are at spontaneous giving, I also want to introduce to you today a different brand of generosity. And this brand is equally as important. In fact, I would suggest to you that without this brand of generosity in our church, spontaneous giving would not even be possible. The context of a church would not even be possible. And for all you spontaneous givers in the room who have yet to become consistent with your giving, I want to challenge you to add this brand of generosity today. Just consider adding this brand of generosity today to your repertoire. Now, here's the next brand. It's called consistent giving. Consistent giving. I would define consistent giving like this. Consistent giving is saying, I'll give a sacrificial percentage regularly to my church because I believe in the church. I'll give a sacrificial percentage regularly to my church because, plain and simple, I believe, just because I believe in the church. The pastor doesn't have to stand up there and guilt me with the Bible. He doesn't have to stand up there and promise me a 10-to-1 return. He didn't have to pull the emotional heartstrings or put pictures of the starving children on the screen or make some sort of emotional appeal. No, to the good times and the bad, I'm just going to steadily and humbly give faithfully and consistently to my church so they can buy land, so they can build a building and pay on the debt, so they can keep the lights on, so they can create jobs for people in the community who feel called to be pastors, so they can create family environments where families can come together and they can connect with God, so they can create small group curriculum so that we can grow closer to God, so they can mentor other churches, smaller churches, needy churches, so we can hire police officers on the weekends to keep us safe and direct the traffic. Look, I'll give a sacrificial percentage regularly to my church because I believe in the church. Now, speaking of the police officers, here's a crazy story. Earlier this year, we gave an opportunity for anybody in the room who wanted to accept Jesus to accept Jesus for the first time. It's pretty cool. And that weekend, one of our police officers came forward to accept Jesus. Now, here's the crazy thing. You see the guys in uniform around here every weekend. We hire, they're employees. They're not members of the church, not regular attenders of the church. We hire them to work on Sunday mornings. They're here to keep us safe, and they're here to get us out quickly so that none of you sin in the parking lot, because you do. That's what we hire them for. But this one police officer every weekend would just kind of walk. That was his beat, right? He walked the lobby out there and just made sure everything was safe and secure. And what he'd do is he'd kind of look over his shoulder and he would watch our services on those TVs out there in the lobby that you consistent givers bought, right? He'd just watch them. He'd watch the music. He'd watch the sermons. And month after month after month after month, God worked on him until finally we offered an invitation. He said, "You know what? I want to make Jesus my Savior and I'm going to make this place my church." And he came forward. And we baptized him the next weekend. Now, that is an amazing story. And I could go on about it for longer, but that's just one example of the hundreds of stories that happen every single weekend here because consistent givers say, "I'll give a sacrificial percentage regularly to my church because I believe in the power of the local church." You realize we wouldn't have the context to bring 7,000 people together on Christmas Eve and raise $250,000 if it wasn't for consistent givers giving regularly. For 5, 10, 20, some 38 years to make this church what it is today. And I got to be honest, sometimes consistent giving does not feel good. Sometimes it's hard, right? But in the good times and the bad, when it feels good or when it feels a little bit more difficult, when I just can't afford to give that 15% or I can't just afford to give that 7% or whatever your percentage is, this church would not be possible if people didn't grind through it and say, "I am going to be a consistent giver because I believe in this place." Now, I want to show you just a brief story of one of our most consistent givers that we've ever had in the history of this church. The quintessential example of what a consistent giver should be like. His name is Garner Chamberlain, and he's recently passed away. But he and his wife, Billy, were a part of this church for many, many years, and many people in this room were impacted by his life. And today, I just want to allow a few folks who were discipled by him to briefly tell his story of generosity. Let's check this out.
Who were Gardner and Billy Chamberlain? They were a couple that were meant to be with each other. They fashioned their life after what God's word would have them be.
Gardner would do anything for Billy, and Billy would do anything for Gardner. They were just, I don't know, a perfect example of what a marriage is supposed to be.
Billy and Gardner wanted to join a small group, and when the church asked them if they wanted to be placed in a group that was of the same age as them, they said absolutely not. They wanted to be with young couples, and they kind of became the parents of us younger moms and dads. The wisdom that Gardner had and Billy had was just incredible and quite a blessing to our group. Together, you could feel the love. You could, could feel how much they cared for each other. And you could see that both of them had the love of Christ first, and then the marriage wrapped around that. So everything was centered around God, and then the marriage was centered around God. And that was quite an example for us. Gardner and Billy certainly were a big part of teaching us how to do marriage right. Tithing was very important to Gardner. It was one of the mainstays of his belief was giving back to the church.
The first money that came out every week was they wrote the check to come to church. That's just how they did it. Gardner couldn't handle money for beans, but Billy took care of that part. I mean, it was a ritual that they all went through every week to make sure that everything was in its right place with regards to what their faith had to be.
Well, Billy and Gardner used to live next to the church. As the East End grew and grew over the years, this became a pretty large piece of property that was by a major intersection. So its value grew significantly in the latter years. And they had multiple offers of significant amount of money for that property. And they turned it down so that the church would always have access to it.
Gardner and Billy were willing and wanted to and were willing to invest into the next generation or the generation, two generations out or three generations out. They were willing to invest in them.
Yeah, they were always looking out for the next generation. And I think they knew that their property someday would be enjoyed in whatever purpose the church ends up deciding how to use it for the generations to come.
I mean, everything they did, from how they worshiped God, how they dealt with their kids, how they did everything, how they helped, how they managed their business, was how God would have them do it. And there's nothing better than I can say. I mean, if somebody looked at my life and said something like that about my life with my wife, I'd be thrilled. Bottom line.
So a lot of people always ask me, you know, what's going on with that building, that little house there next to the church? You know, we own that? Well, yeah, we own that. You live there, Tyler? No, I don't live there. But we own that because Garner and Billy decided to protect that plot of land for us. When they could have made a whole lot more money, they decided to protect that and sell it to us for a bargain price because they believed in their church. Every single day, they gave of their lives consistently to God so they could reflect the beauty, the power of the church working right. Every single month when they got their paycheck, they gave of their money to God consistently because they believed in the power of the church. I mean, every single week they gave of their time to the next generation because they wanted to raise up the next generation of leaders in this church. And I'm going to tell you what, some of the best leaders we got today, like elders, servers, consistent givers, are folks that sat under the tutelage of Garner and Billy. And here's what you don't know. A few months ago, since Garner recently passed away, we got a check in the mail from Garner's estate because even after he passed away, he wanted to continue to invest in his church. That's strong stuff, right? That is the example of being a consistent giver. I'll give regularly. I'll give self-sacrificially to my church because plain and simple, I believe in the power of the church. No heartstrings, no emotional appeal. You don't have to guilt me into it. I just believe. I believe in this group, and I want to be invested in it. One of my favorite pastors, he differentiates it like this, and I thought it was a compelling way to think about it. He said, it's the difference between intervention giving and prevention giving. Intervention giving and prevention giving. Here's how I would parse that out for you. Intervention giving is motivated by a crisis. I see a need right now, and so I give to it. I give my time. I give my money to it. And intervention giving offers instant rescue stories because I give to that crisis and we rescue those people out of it. Now, on the other hand, though, prevention giving is giving to an organization or giving to a group or giving to a cause that prevents crisis from ever happening to begin with. Now, let me ask you, what should the church be about, intervention or prevention? That's a trick question. The answer is both. We should be rescuing people because that's what Jesus did for us, but we should also be preventing evil from taking hold of people's lives. And you know what? That is what we're about. But you know where I believe the true power of the church lies? It's in the power of prevention. It's in all the sad stories that are never told and that never happen because of the preventative power of a healthy local church. There is no absent father because he's here. There is no abused child because his parents and his family are growing closer together here. There is no lady addicted to prescription meds because she's in a small group and they saw the signs in her life and so they came around her and rescued her. There is no suicide because he has hope. There's no teenage pregnancy. There's no wrapping the car around the tree because your college student was drunk because he was here, invested in at the church. Man, that is power. That is the power of the local church. And what makes that so hard to cast vision for is because the stories never happen. They're untold. and yet they're important nonetheless. In fact, I have no idea what my story would be if it wasn't for the preventative power of a local church in my life, but I'm going to tell you what, I would not be standing here. So here's my challenge to you. Here's my challenge to you. I want you to adopt both brands of generosity. I want you to consider being a consistent giver and a spontaneous giver. So here, okay, my first challenge for you. Let's get really, really practical. One, I challenge all Northeast people in here. The Northeast people, again, this is a family talk. I challenge all you to consider becoming a consistent giver here in 2017. Now, notice I said in 2017. Okay, the reason why is because I don't want consistent giving to be like this emotional appeal. I don't want you to decide today. I want you to go home and pray about it and think about it and decide that you believe in this place. All right, go home and talk to your wife. Go home and look at your bank statement. Get your financial house in order. Consider the budget. Then pick a painful percentage of your regular income and decide to give it to the church. Now, some of you won't need 4 months to do that. Trust me, I'll remind you come December and January. Don't worry. But some of you won't need 4 months. So for those of you who are ready to give today or sooner than later, here's some of the avenues that you can give through at our church. We've got a lot of ways. And all these are represented on our app under the give tile. First, you can give through the weekend offerings. The old-fashioned way, throw your check in the offering plate as it's passed. Second, we have online giving options, which me and Lindsay think we think it's best for us. I mean, it takes it out of our paycheck first, so we give God his share first. It's consistent, no matter we're here at the church or not. And at the end of the day, we end up just learning to live without it because it just comes out of our paycheck, right? Here's a couple other ways, too, that you can give through the church that people use. And again, I would challenge you, consider doing any of the following. Think about it. Go home and pray about it. Pray about becoming a consistent giver at a church. Now, second, challenge number two. I want to challenge everybody in here to be a spontaneous giver. Everybody, this is not just the Northeast people. I want to challenge everyone in here to be a spontaneous giver today. Here's how. I want to raise $10,000 before we leave this weekend. And here's what's for. I want to do it for one of our partner schools. Now, recently, LaGrange Elementary's principal called us up and she said, hey, we want to throw a big block party for our students before they go back to school. All the teachers, all the students, all the families, we want to do something awesome for them. Will you guys help us? And we're like, sure, we'll help you. So we went out yesterday and we just blessed all those families and all those teachers with inflatables and Mark's Feed Store. It was awesome. But in the process, we came to find out through discussing the principal that she was not able to put any budget money or any money in her budget this year for teacher encouragement, inspiration, and motivation throughout the year. Now, that just broke my heart. She couldn't afford to put the money in there that just broke my heart. And it wasn't her fault, trust me, but that just broke my heart. I mean, you saw these folks standing on stage here earlier. They're the heroes of our country. A nation is no better than its schools. And its schools are no better than the teachers and leaders of those schools. The next generation will stand on those folks' shoulders right there. And we want their shoulders to be sturdy and supported and as high as they can possibly be. I mean, as if it's not hard enough to be a teacher already. Okay, you know why teachers do it, right? It's for the money. They do it for the money. No. I've lived in the home of a teacher my entire life, my wife and my mama. And trust me, they don't do it for the money. You know, and the way our culture is going, like it's difficult to be a teacher because of the pressure of political correctness. You won't say or do anything wrong. And parents these days, it just seems like they're more adversaries than advocates. When I was a kid, if I got sent home with a bad mark on my report card, my parents would say, get your butt up to your room and figure it out. But these days, it just seems like, oh, honey, there must be something wrong with your teacher. Let me call him and straighten him out, right? So, like, it's difficult. It's difficult to be a teacher this day. And I want to raise the teachers up in our community. I want them to know that there is a community of people who believe that they have the most important job in the state of Kentucky. So, here's the ask. Ready for my slimy preacher moment of the day? Here's the ask. I've done the math. In Northeast Christian Church for just $9.99 today. You can change the world for three easy installments of $3.33 today. You can change the world. All right, look, we got about 2,000 adults in here. If we all give $9.99, we'll have more than enough to bless that school and maybe another. So, if you feel called to do it on your way out, there are buckets at the door. Drop your money in the bucket, write a check to Northeast, memo at LaGrange, or we'll have little folks up here with iPads in the front where you can, just like at a coffee shop, swipe it away. And I kid you not, on the iPad is a little button that says $9.99. You go, Okay, so there you got it. All right. Now, that wasn't much of a sermon, was it? Sorry. I didn't even use the Bible. But you know why? Because I didn't want it to be about that today. I wanted you to feel compelled to give today for one reason and one reason only. Because you believe in the church like I believe in the church. You believe that the church is the body of Jesus and Jesus is the hope of the world. You believe we are his hands and feet, his head and heart, his eyes and ears, his mouth, his voice, his love in the world. You believe we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So if that's what you believe, go home and consider it. Go home and consider being a consistent giver. And today, for $9.99, no Sarah McLachlan coming out in the arms of the angel. No. Just for $9.99 today, $9.99 today, we can do a really big thing. Okay, now since this wasn't a sermon, I'm not even going to close in prayer. So here's how I'm going to close. Are you ready? On your mark, get set, go love the Ville, y'all. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week.